Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim. We are a father and son movie review podcast available everywhere podcasts are. So if you have iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, Spotify, anywhere that has audio podcasts, we're probably there. Hit subscribe, leave a comment, rating, review, all that good stuff. Probably 5 stars. If it's 1, that's fine. We appreciate your honesty. Also, don't forget to head over to our YouTube channel, A Podcast Named Tim. We put up episodes of the podcast. We do bonus movie reviews, book reviews, Power Rangers, a bunch of other stuff. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is our social media sites. And, of course, we have a website, podcastnamedtim.com. Again, podcastnamedtim.com. You can go there. We have movie posters for the over 400 movies we've reviewed. Click on the poster, and you can listen to us talk about that film. So, I'm Zach Dead. How are you today, good sir?
Fantastic.
Trademark. today, we're going to be discussing The Wailing and Death Proof. But before we get into that, what else have you been watching?
Nothing.
That's fine.
No, that's not true. No, I started two new shows this week. Castle Rock on Hulu by Stephen King. Tells another tale from Shawshank. Not very far in it. Still liking it so far. So we'll see. And started Prison Break. I'd always meant to watch that because I'd heard really good things about it. And headed right on through it. It's very good. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
That's about... Yeah, that might be about it.
Well, you know me. I am... I like the draft. So this week leading up was just podcast about the draft and watching the draft. I like the human element of it. I like the idea of these massive billion-dollar companies trying to out-manipulate each other. The gamesmanship of it. Love it all. And so I watched a lot of draft this week. That was my excitement.
Yeah.
I understand.
I'll just wait till they take the field and then I know who they got.
Yep. I am going to be watching tonight the Clone Wars animated show that they did in the early 2000s. It was a 2D one. They've put those on Disney Plus. Going to be watching. It was like a micro series. They were like little, like 5-minute episodes that they would put on. And they've kind of put them into 2 1-hour-long episodes. And so I'm going to watch those to review for the upcoming May the 4th event stuff. And, of course, ready for Bad Batch. So some probably going to have, if I can get to it, a lot of Star Wars content for next week. We'll see.
Cool. Oh, yeah, it will be May the 4th.
May the 4th. So.
It's May. I forgot it was May.
Yeah, me too. And don't forget, if you were listening to this, Mother's Day, May the 9th. May the 9th. So... Take care of your business.
It's birthday month for me.
Yeah, I know. You got lots of people. Birthday.
Oh. Your two brothers and your and my wife's father and best friend Ken and
birthday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get into this. We're gonna start with The Wailing. But before we do that, we're gonna take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. The Wailing came out in 2016. It is a South Korean film. It has TVMA rating on it, which I thought was interesting. But anyway. has a 2 hour and 36 minute runtime, a 7.5 on IMDb, a 99% on the tomato meter, and it has a, where's the score? 82 from the audience score. It is about a town in a little village in South Korea where people are getting sick, kind of zombified and killing their family and then dying. And everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. There happens to be a Japanese man who lives in the woods nearby and everyone thinks it's him. So that is what the movie is about. This was your selection for the week, so I will go first. I really enjoyed this movie a lot. Certainly long. Certainly could have been trimmed. But, and there are some things we can talk about that might have been a little confusing here and there as far as its message. But I love the dad. I love the daughter. I felt the connection there. The two of them, I was rooting for them to save her and for him to, you know, not have to go through that. So I bought into the characters. This is about the fifth or sixth South Korean film we've done for the show. They've pretty much all been really, really good. And this one, it continues in that vein. I thought this was a beautiful movie. Shot excellent. A lot of interesting things. I'm sure there's some things we would have picked up a little bit more on, because I think there's some Korean folklore that it builds off of as well. But overall, I thought this was a great horror film. What did you think?
I didn't go to great, and I'm still kind of on the fence. This is a fixable film.
Yes.
For me. It's not like a total backing or anything with it. The part that threw me was the whole beginning. It seemed like we were going for the agents have a way of making some movies kind of silly. A mm-hmm. Keystone Cop. The cops were kind of silly and mm-hmm. dumb. Mm-hmm. And so it was almost like it was going to be one of those kind of movies. So it put me into that kind of frame. Like, okay, this is going to be one of those light, kind of silly, you know, over-animated, kind of movie.
Yeah.
But then they tried to make it dark and serious, and it was kind of hard to get back to that.
I thought it made that transition well. I thought it made that transition.
But I didn't want that transition. I wish they had started out those guys being serious and wanting to, you know, trying to figure this out and make it a little more of a mystery. They definitely could have trimmed some out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how long it was, but later in the movie, there's like a dueling shaman scene. There are going to be spoilers here for anyone who has never checked out this podcast. There's like a dueling shaman scene that's going on. And that was like, I was like, how long is this going on?
It was a long time. And it brought up them ants. It was that kind of this noise, and this is putting me really into a frame of mind.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what they meant. At least I hope that's what they meant. But it was difficult to get through that. But I wouldn't. So, well, wait a minute on that. Yeah, that was a little bit long.
Yeah, I guess if we wanted to get into the super, super heavy spoilers, I am somewhat confused about the message of this movie. I was expecting, because they were hammering it home so much, you know, oh, the Japanese guy's the bad guy, the Japanese guy's the bad guy. I was like, all right, we're going to do a movie where everyone has their prejudices. They think it's this one guy, and then you're going to realize he was a good guy and was trying to help him out. And it was really someone else.
That's what I thought, too.
Because that's movie 101. All right. But it's weird because they give you that. Like, oh, yeah, he was a good guy. And then they're like, oh, wait, no, he wasn't. And it was like an unnecessary additional twist. And because then I was like, oh, nope, he's actually the devil. Your prejudice were right. So
now the shaman.
Yes.
He was working with him, right?
That's what the...
Or controlled by him or whatever?
Yeah. So it's weird because you have three kind of supernatural forces. You have the woman in white, you have the Japanese man, and then you have the shaman.
Right.
So there's three different people who are all in this village doing things. And again, this is where I get into Korean folklore. Apparently, if you look close, or not look closely, if you pay attention, the Japanese man was taking things that were from the bottom of people, like their shoes and stuff. And the white woman was taking stuff from the top of people, like the beret and the jacket. And apparently that's a thing. If you take something from the bottom of someone, that's used for curses. If you take something from the top of someone, that's used for like more protective spells.
Someone did that homework.
I did my homework.
I did not do.
So, I guess she's supposed to be a good guy, but I almost still didn't buy it in some respects.
Well, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't catching it. I was still thinking that he was good, because until it became obvious, because he was pushing him to go back to the house, and she was telling him, no, you got to wait. But wouldn't that have happened anyway? That was my point. Why did waiting make it different when it was happening anyway? That was where I got confused.
I think she was like, it was like the Saul situation in some respects. Which Saul was that did the one with Donnie? Well, he was like, you just gotta wait. That's right. But yeah, she was already killing everyone there. I guess he would have saved her if he would have waited, but I didn't understand what the trap was. Because she's like, oh, I've laid a trap for him. Was the trap supposed to be that the priest was supposed to go do something and stop the devil? Because that didn't happen.
I have an expert. Let me confer.
Yes. Well, expert witness, please come to the podium.
Trap the guy that was causing it all to happen.
The shaman was supposed to show up and cause the trap. Is that what we're getting at?
When he went in, the trap wilted.
Mm-hmm.
And messed it all up. So since the trap broke, everything happened.
Okay, I don't know, but it was already happening.
All the bad stuff happened, so it wouldn't have happened. It was a charm that was keeping that from happening, and when he went in, it broke it.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting.
Here's what I appreciate about the movie. I appreciate...
Thank you, Alex. I didn't know.
Well, I kind of like it. I normally don't like this. I kind of like that it's confusing, because it makes it realistic as far as you're a dad, just a normal dude, and you're just like, I just want to save my daughter. And you got three different people telling you three different things.
Right.
Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what this stuff is. And so I appreciated that. I think it was purposely confusing.
Yeah, well, it was to keep you off balance.
Yeah.
So when they went to the place, when they went to the Japanese man's house.
Yes.
And they had a shrine, and he had all that stolen stuff.
Yes.
Then it was gone.
Yes.
Did the shaman get rid of it?
I guess. Well, he said he burned it, and it looked like there were some ashes in there.
Okay.
That's
right. I was just told that it was in the shaman's trunk of his car in a box.
Yes, yes.
So maybe this is a little shtick they travel around with.
Perhaps. He said he was
into the props.
I don't know. It was interesting.
I caught the girl and I caught it, and then I read and watched something on it. And I was right about it, that the girl throwing rocks, that was because they did a little bit of each of the religions.
Yeah.
And that was the Christianity part of the throwing the first stone at people. Throw the first, you know. So that's what that was. And I thought that when we were watching it, but I didn't say it because I didn't think it made sense with it being a South Korean movie. But then when I read about it, it was like, okay, that is what that meant. So that was kind of interesting, but I still can't get around the silliness of the cops at first. I just wish they had not done that. That's it. That's my only problem.
They were real people. They were real people, man.
They were cartoonish. They were that Asian cartoonish movie that they do all the time. Jackie Chan's done a million of them. There's a million of his action movies that have him being drunken master. It's a huge hit. It's silly. I just wish they had taken the silly part out.
Here's my other question. If I remember correctly, towards the end of the movie, the woman in white is basically saying, he's like, you know, why my daughter? And she said it's because her father sinned. Because I think her explanation was because he thought someone did it. Like, basically because you were being accusatory and prejudiced.
Right.
But his prejudice were right. Right. It was the devil.
I thought it was because he was getting it in the car.
It's his wife. Who cares? They're married.
Oh, was that his wife? Yeah, I can follow some of the characters. Was his wife? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, so it's like, I was like, what did he do? He was like, she got sick first. It's like, that's true. When she got sick, he was like, I'm going to go take care of business. Huh. So I was kind of like, I was like,
the little girl was good.
She was great.
The screaming and all was creepy and annoying and did everything it needed to do. She was really good at it. And I liked the dad. I liked the cop, except for I liked him when he became more serious.
I really enjoyed this, but I thought this could have been, like you said, even better. But I kind of like the slow burn at the same time.
Trim about 20 minutes off of it.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
And you probably could have done that with taking those silly scenes out. Make those guys really serious cops, good cops. It's kind of weird.
Well, and what's interesting is, and I noticed this when I was watching it, you know, when he goes to visit the shaman one time, the shaman's getting undressed and he's wearing that more like traditional Japanese undergarment, I guess.
Right.
And I was like, oh, the other guy wore the diaper in the scene. So I was like, oh, I don't know. It was a weird thing. And they put it in like one of the like foreshadowing hints.
So is there a prejudice between Koreans and Japanese?
I believe so. I think there's a prejudice, like,
I know the Chinese and Japanese don't really care for it. They get irritated when you don't pick them apart.
Well, they hated each other.
I worked with an Oriental lady named Tashiko, and she did tell me that one time, that because somebody out there had called her Chinese, and she was a very proper Japanese lady, and she told me yes, that it was. That luckily, she lived here long enough to where that didn't bother her. But if 20 years ago, she'd have been called that in her country, that would have been a really problem. Mm. So, but yeah, see, I didn't know that either. I guess that's a thing.
Well, and did you recognize the actor who was the Japanese man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Boss Tanaka.
I had, I looked up his credits too, but I knew I'd seen him in a couple things. So,
I love the atmosphere of the movie.
Weird little village. So the kids live in a little hut next to you. Not like that's ideal.
Yeah.
Why did we think of that?
Go over there.
That could come in handy sometimes.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this, but I don't know. It was confusing and it was weird as far as what the point was trying to get across. But I did really enjoy it.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it.
And you know what? As we always say at the end of the day, you know, I looked at its box office budget of $8 million, made $51.3 million.
It's all about the money.
There you go.
Where's Wailing 2?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was going the zombie route.
Yeah.
At first to the people. So, but I wasn't, and I don't like demonic movies usually, but I actually thought that was better. I'm glad it didn't stay zombie. I'm glad it was in this case.
Well, that was what was weird. It's kind of got like some zombie qualities. It's kind of got a possession movie to it. It's got like a mix of a couple of different horror movies. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Occults.
Yeah.
The demonic possession. It's the occult.
The occult. Well, yeah. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yep.
And I'm glad you picked it.
I did not pick it. It was Alex's pick.
That's right, Alex.
Made me watch it, and I didn't want to waste 2.5 hours. A time that I'd watched, so you inherited it.
That's fine. I was very happy to. Well, let's go ahead to our next film, which was my selection for the week, Death Proof, which was part of the Grindhouse double feature. Came out in 2007, has a 7 on IMDb, has a 2-hour and 7-minute runtime. So we were We were in the length. Anything over 2 hours to me is lengthy at this point. I'm old. So we were both lengthy movies this week. Of course, written and directed by Quentin Tarantino. Has a 65 on the tomato meter and a 72 from the audience score. Of course, it's about a couple groups of women who have a run-in with one stuntman, Mike, who we can get into as a character. But basically, let's just say he has a death-proof car, and he likes to use it. I already know your opinion of this movie, but I want you to go ahead and tell everyone why this is a great movie, and then I will give my opinion.
I love this movie. Now, here's some of the spoilers. They're not spoilers. You got to remember, it was part of Grindhouse. It's supposed to be a cheap 70s exploitation, silly mess of a movie.
Okay.
All those were. You can't say it didn't hit the mark there. It absolutely reminded me of those movies.
I can argue.
especially... Here's the point that I want to make, especially the first half. This is like Full Metal Jacket. I love the first half of this movie. I tolerate the second half. Up until the hospital scene, this is one of my favorites. I absolutely love this movie up until the hospital. So as we get to the hospital, I can actually turn it off and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the rest of it. You know, it's got great dialogue. It has one of the best characters ever. Stuntman Mike, I love. Kurt Russell brings this thing. No one else can do it. I love all of the 70s shows and people calling him BJ and the Bear, the horror director, Eli Roth.
Yeah.
BJ and the Bear, and they bring up, some of Burt Reynolds movie. What's that called?
They brought up a lot of shit.
Movie. Oh, yeah. Loved the music. The music was fun. Characters were great. The settings were really good. And the best lap dance scene of a movie I've ever seen. Love that scene. It's just great. Kurt Russell's reactions and Walsh is doing it, the whole thing. It's a great butterfly. Puts on quite a show.
You don't prefer Selma Hayek from Dusk Till Dawn?
I do not. this is my favorite one.
Remind me. I know we saw this in theaters. Did we went and saw Grindhouse, the double feature?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought. That's what I remembered. And this was the first...
I thought it was the second.
I couldn't remember. That was the part I was trying to remember.
Yeah, but I could be wrong with that. I don't remember how they... I'm pretty sure... you might be right.
I don't remember. I have always preferred Planet Terror over Death Proof. I did not like... I had not seen Death Proof until this viewing, because I didn't really care for it. Thoughts. It was long. Boring. And watching it the second time, some of those opinions have not changed. But here's what I will say. I agree with you, the first half is stronger. My one big complaint about the movie as far as exploitation films and 70s films, you know what they were? Short. if you would have combined, I like the arc we went on, where he attacked some girls and some other girls attacked him. But I wish it would have been the same group of girls, because there's just too many characters in this movie. And that way we can kind of cut down length, because we don't have to reintroduce a whole second group of people and do the same thing again. We could have just done this once.
No.
Okay. But that's just me. Because it's too fucking hard.
The challenge of the stunt. You need the first group to be totally annihilated in that wreck, and that wreck is fantastic.
It is. Okay, here's the great parts of this movie. The lap dancing is great. Stuntman Mike, especially the first time at the bar, that whole time is great. One of the best moments in all of Tarantino movies is when he's pulling out with Rose McGowan, and he says, "Do you got left or right?" That's excellent. Perfect.
Oh, that's too bad.
just what a great scene. That part, like I said, with the thing is great. Some of the car action scenes at the end are great. I just don't care by that point. I'm just burnt out by the time we get there. I think it's, I've not seen the Hateful Eight, but I think the issue with this movie is it's long. There's honestly not enough stuff, man, Mike, in it, my humble opinion.
Yeah.
And I think that it is, in some respects, an average film. And I think what hurts it the most is it is clearly and obviously the worst Tarantino film. And he even says that.
You know what? He didn't say that until everybody came down on Grindhouse so hard. He was happy with this thing when it first was done. So I think that was more of a, okay, I got to have a worse one. But the worst Tarantino is still way better than a lot of people's greatest.
That's true. That's true. So, I mean,
I think I can just get over all of its flaws because I just love Stuntman Mike.
Stuntman Mike is great.
He is so cool. When he is at the bar, he is just ridiculously cool when you know, especially after you've already seen it, that he is such an evil son of a bitch.
So is it, I wanted to get into that because the opening of the movie, when he's going after the first set of girls, made it seem like it was a sexual thing. Like he needed that adrenaline to get off.
Maybe.
And the second part of the movie, I guess it's kind of the same. Is he just an adrenaline junkie? And he just, because he's been a stuntman and he's been retired, he needs that high.
He's a murderer and he needs that high. So that's how he combines them to get his rocks off. Absolutely.
Okay.
And how many times has he done this? I wanted to know how many times. That obviously wasn't the first. Now we know the last.
Yeah.
But how many times has he done this?
And I, you know what I do love? And I'm not saying this to be a smartass. I love the end of the movie because that was very exploitation film where it just ends.
Oh, yeah.
Like right there. Like that.
Oh,
that
the cuts, you know, the way they did the lap dance, the way it ended. You knew there was something more.
Yeah.
But you didn't need to see it. I love the jumpy film. I don't know. He's one of the best stalkers I've ever seen.
He's great. He is great. I appreciate it a little bit more than I did last time, but it's still just, whew. Like this felt longer than the Wailing.
See, I think where you went wrong is watching. I didn't watch too much of the second half. I actually had the second half is running on the television right now, just to speak. And I'm glancing up at it every now and then. I've seen it so many times and I didn't think I needed to watch the whole thing. And I just watched my favorite part. I watched the Full Metal Jacket pile up until pile. And then, and I was like, all right, I know what happens the rest of the way. And it's, I don't want to ruin it because it does get a little long because of the second half. But I think there's some silly little scenes in the second half they could have actually cut out and tightened the second half up and made it as good as the first. He got a little Tarantino. He got a little, you know, I'm a little full of myself, and I wrote this scene. It's going to stay in the movie.
He got a little
George, the dialogue.
He got a little George Lucas.
Yeah, he did. He did, absolutely. But I still love the movie.
The little trivia here for you. I'm sure you've already read some of this, but do you know where he came up with the movie for?
I thought it was a book.
He came up with the idea on the set of Pulp Fiction, which means basically most of his movies post Pulp Fiction, he came up with during Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Kill Bill, he came up with then, and then Death Proof. It says he was drunk in a hotel with Sean Penn. He
that's a weird.
Yep.
Sean
Penn?
Why the heck was he with Sean Penn?
Well, I don't know, but says Tarantino wanted to buy a Volvo because he didn't want to die in a car accident like the one in Pulp Fiction, he said. And then basically, Sean Penn told him, you can take a car to a stunt team and they'll death proof it for you for $10,000 to $15,000. And that phrase stuck in his head and made a movie. So that was interesting. Of course, Zoe Bell is an actual stunt woman. She does the stunts for Uma Thurman.
Right.
In all the Kill Bill movies. And for all you... She plays Zoe Bell. Yep. She's playing herself. Of course, for all you car junkies, which we are not, the cars in the film, a 1970s Chevy Nova and a 1969 Dodge Charger. Those are the two cars that...
I do like the Chargers, so...
Yeah. Those are the two cars that Mr. Stuntman Mike uses. And this movie has one unique thing about Tarantino movies, and do you know what that is? It's the only Tarantino movie to do this.
It doesn't seem to be in the universe.
Well, yeah, no, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, because the two...
Looking for stuff, and I didn't see red apples or...
The sheriff and the son.
Okay, well, yeah. But they're not the same character, are they?
Yeah.
But from Grindhouse, right?
But they're also the sheriff from Kill Bill.
Well, it is, but I didn't think he was the same guy.
I think it is.
Okay. Never mind then.
And no, I'm pretty sure someone said a pack of red apples when they were at the drugstore.
Maybe.
But no, this is the only Tarantino movie that takes place completely in chronological order without any flashbacks.
Oh, that's true.
It's just start to finish, this is the movie you're getting. So, all right.
Okay, don't think of that. I can't remember Hateful Eight to tell you that didn't.
Well, I'm just telling you what the trivia says.
Well, does
Inglourious Bastards?
No. Well, yeah, that one.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
That, no, that's not the one. The one, the Jamie Foxx.
Django?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a couple flashbacks to when, I think when someone was a slave or something like that.
Yeah, Hateful Eight, I don't remember, to be honest. That's the one I say is his worst.
That is the only one I have not seen.
Watch, huh?
That is the only one I have not seen.
Yeah. You need to give it a shot. I need to watch it again because I don't really remember it.
The length has scared me.
And I think you feel it, if I remember correctly.
I'm sure you do. I have a feeling he took his time. As far as money, I don't know if this is Grindhouse or Death Proof exclusive, but on the Death Proof Wikipedia page, made for $30 million, only made 30.7.
Made money,
man. which, yeah, I remember. Which is weird to think, because you know, Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez. I remember us going to see Grindhouse at the time, and I remember it did not do well.
It didn't. Well, it was just that was a long time in a theater to watch those. And those, which a lot of Grindhouse movies were double features.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole thing together, I liked, even though I'm not really a Grindhouse fan, but it just, I love the fake movie trailers and the iconic scenes. Like this one started with the fun one with the little baby line and then turns into an adult line that says for mature audiences only. That was fun, but I didn't think they ever should have broke those things up, but I guess they kind of had to.
Yeah, it's not his best. I would not watch it again. I would watch a couple scenes from it.
Well, that's all you need to do. I told you this is Full Metal Jacket. Just watch up into the hospital, and you're fine.
That's probably an accurate description.
Right.
Okay. Well, we are just cruising. What are we watching next week? Next week we are doing, since obviously we talked about it last week, I think, DMX obviously passed away a few weeks ago. Shock G passed away. So we thought we would do movies featuring rappers. And I already said, my pick is going to be New Jack City, which of course has Mr. one Ice-T in it. And
that's someone else too, I think, but I can't.
I think so too, but I've never seen New Jack. So
you've never seen New Jack City?
Never seen New Jack City.
How did I never show you New Jack City?
I don't know. But I've never seen
it. I'm sure when you were like 5 or 6, I showed it to you.
Probably. Well, it is.
Stay off the crack, son. See, Pookie? Stay off the crack.
But no, I have zero memories of this movie. So I knew Chris Rock and Pookie, and that's about all I knew. And I knew that kind of iconic picture of the way Samuel.
I did not know you've ever seen New Jack City.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that so many times. That's another one. I'll watch it just because I like it, but I don't need to.
Yeah,
all about the Cash Money Brothers, baby.
Yeah, literally all I knew about this movie was the way Wesley Snipes looks and Pookie.
Am I my brother's keeper?
I don't know. Are you?
Same line. You'll see it. So I went for iconic. We all know, we all love. I went for the iconic movie when you think of rap movies.
Can I take a guess?
I'm going to ask you, what do you think I went for?
House Party.
No.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say 8 Mile.
No, I thought that was too
much. I was trying to lead you here like it was, and you were going to say 8 Mile. I was going to say, wrong. You're watching Cool as Ice, baby.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Yes. It's on Tubi.
Okay.
Enjoy. Zero to Hero.
I think I've seen some of this before. I have not watched the whole movie, but I'm pretty sure I've seen some.
Drop that zero and get with this hero.
Woo!
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. No ninja rap. Sorry. No.
That's okay.
Yeah, cool as ice.
Here's what I thought you were going to pick this week. I thought you were either going to go House Party or was it Poetic Justice? Is that the
Poetic? I had to fight hard not to do Poetic Justice.
Okay.
I wanted to do Poetic Justice or I can't think of the other. There's another Tupac movie that I really like. The one with him and his friends. I'll come
Juice?
Up with it right. What is it?
Juice. Yeah.
Love that movie. But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna swerve him. I'm gonna try to act like we're doing something serious, and I'm gonna make him watch Cool as Ice, just because it'll be more fun to talk about Cool as Ice. What am I gonna say about 8 Mile? It's an autobiography or semi autobiography. It's Eminem. Done. That's all you can really say about it.
And it's great.
It is great, but great movies are not as easy to talk about as.
I agree. Actually, before, just as a little aside here, I listened to an interview with Mr. Anthony Mackie the other day, a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about 8 Mile, and isn't he the guy, Clarence, that gets crapped on? He's the other rapper at the end of the movie.
You talking about the Falcon?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I had to put that together.
Yeah, he's the guy. I think his name is Clarence at the end of the movie. The guy that he just destroys, Papa Doc. He's Papa Doc.
I did not realize that.
It's Anthony Mackie. So, him and Eminem became friends on set, and he had learned about Anthony Mackie's actual history. And the verse that Eminem uses to destroy Papa Doc, that's about Anthony Mackie. That's an actual,
I guess I don't know anything about Anthony Mackie. I thought that his first thing was, I don't remember him outside of the MCU universe.
Yeah, no, that was him. But yeah, the stuff he was saying about him and he was spitting on him, that was all an actual, basically a verse attack, on Anthony Mackie. He basically made a rap about
that's
him.
Funny.
And he didn't know he was going to do that. But yeah, so nice. All the stuff about him being, from the rich kids and all that stuff, that's all him. He went at him.
All right.
So I thought that was interesting. But
cool.
Yeah, so. Right. Is Mekhi Phifer still alive or did he die?
Sloth.
I don't know why I thought he, I mean, I ain't seen him in shit in forever.
Yeah. I saw him something not long ago, some Dr. Drama or something he popped in.
Okay. Well, that is the movies we're going to be doing. What is it? New Jack City and?
Cool as Ice.
I can't wait. This is going to be great.
If I had hair. I might trim my eyebrow. I might do a little lines on my eyebrows.
Oh, it might not grow back. I wouldn't do that. It might not grow back.
They're barely there now.
Yeah, you're old, man. Your hair doesn't grow.
Can I say this? In high school, I may have had some designs cut in the side of my head a few times.
You were just cool, man. You was cool as ice.
It was cool as ice.
Oh, man.
But anyway.
This is going to be fun. Okay.
I think I'm going to make Alex watch it with me right now.
You should. I can't wait to hear his opinion on it.
I don't even know if he knows who Vanilla Ice is.
I mean, everyone knows Ice Ice Baby, though.
He knows Ice Ice Baby. I mean, he's heard it. I don't think he can spit it, as the young people like to say. But, what? I'm an idiot. So, anyway, yeah. So, might watch that.
Okay. Well, I'm excited.
I may let him watch that, because I failed you. I am sorry. Mm-hmm. I did not know that you have made it to the ripe old age of 31 and never seen New Jack City.
Never seen.
So before he's already turned 16, I think I will remedy my. Yeah, wow.
Well, yeah, when you have like four kids, you got to get it. You get it right eventually. It's trial and error.
The
like Alex is supposed to be the like prime child. Like you've had all this knowledge of all the other children that you could raise.
There's some Star Trek references in New Jack City.
Oh, really?
Where they get high, it's called the Enterprise.
Nice.
And if you want to get high, you say you're beaming up.
Okay. I can't wait for
that. It's a great movie, I'm telling you.
Okay. This is going to be fun. All right. Well, we will see you all next time on a podcast named Tim. Watch the movie. Subscribe to the podcast. YouTube. Blah, blah, blah. All the good stuff. Rating, review. Anything else you want to say to the people before we get out of here?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Trademark. Goodbye.